Hello and welcome to S&C's podcast series, the S&C Critical Insights. I am Eric Cadell, one of the co-managing partners of S&C's Economic Sanctions and Financial Crime Practice.
And I'm Jamie Earle, a special counsel in S&C's Economic Sanctions and Financial Crime Practice.
Today, Jamie and I will be talking about OFAC's recent guidance regarding compliance in the time of COVID-19. First, we're going to talk about OFAC's most recent compliance guidance, which was issued on April 20th, and then we'll cover OFAC's April 16th guidance regarding provisions related to humanitarian assistance and trade under U.S. economic sanctions programs. First, the April 20 guidance. On April 20, 2020, OFAC issued a specific encouragement to persons that are affected by the COVID-19 pandemic that they should contact OFAC about any concerns they may experience in their ability to meet deadlines associated with OFAC-administered regulatory requirements. The OFAC guidance specified that OFAC understands parties required to comply with sanctions may be, at this time, facing technical and resource challenges amid the global pandemic, and that if a shift in resources at the institution leads to a violation of sanctions, the government will take that into account in any eventual enforcement matter related to that transaction. OFAC's statement reiterated the OFAC expectation that parties continue taking a risk-based approach to complying with sanctions, and OFAC understands that may mean at this time shifting resources to account for difficulties that arise because of the novel coronavirus. If that move is part of a risk-based approach, OFAC said that it will evaluate this as a factor in determining the appropriate administrative response to an apparent violation of sanctions that occurs during this period. OFAC also encouraged those who may be having trouble meeting filing deadlines because of the pandemic to alert the appropriate contact at the office. Specifically, taking a similar approach to recent guidance that was issued by the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, or FinCEN, the OFAC guidance encourages persons, including financial institutions and other businesses that are affected by the COVID-19 global pandemic, to contact OFAC as soon as practicable if they believe that they may experience delays in their ability to meet deadlines under OFAC-administered regulatory requirements, including the 10-business day deadline for reports relating to blocked and unblocked property and on rejected transactions, as well as any deadlines for responding to OFAC administrative subpoenas or reporting under an OFAC general or specific license. The OFAC guidance further provides appropriate points of contact at OFAC for these reports or responses, as well as the persons to contact for requests of reconsideration of an OFAC action resulting in the addition of a person to an OFAC sanctions list. The guidance also encourages the submission of voluntary self-disclosures of apparent violations of OFAC-administered sanctions to a new OFAC email account, ofacdisclosures@treasury.gov, rather than through physical mail. The guidance recognizes the difficult realities that parties are facing with regard to compliance. At the same time, OFAC will consider challenges on a case-by-case basis. So all of the facts and circumstances surrounding an apparent violation will be evaluated individually and likely with the benefit of hindsight. Thus, any party that's forced to reallocate compliance resources or faces other challenges as a result of COVID-19 should document the decision. In the event that an issue arises, the party will be better positioned to show that the decision was part of a risk assessment that was made thoughtfully and deliberatively, if it has a writing in place that it can show to OFAC staff at the appropriate time. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Jamie to talk a little bit about the April 16 guidance.
Thanks so much, Eric. In addition to the guidance that OFAC issued with respect to sort of general compliance concerns around COVID-19, the agency has also released guidance for companies that are seeking to provide humanitarian relief in relation to the COVID-19 pandemic, whether in the form of a commercial transaction or donative relief, while navigating U.S. sanctions with respect to Iran, the Crimea region of Ukraine, and other countries. Since the emergence of the COVID-19 pandemic, and in particular in light of the severe impact of the disease in Iran, there have been calls from some members of Congress, including Iran hawks like Congressman Elliot Engel and Senator Bob Menendez, as well as current and former European and other officials, to provide sanctions relief targeted at fighting the disease. In the past, OFAC has issued new licenses in response to natural disasters. OFAC has not provided any new relief in response to COVID-19 at this time. However, it has issued a fact sheet which describes in great detail existing exemptions, exceptions, and authorizations under the Cuba, Iran, North Korea, Syria, Ukraine/Russia-related, and Venezuela sanctions administered by OFAC. It has encouraged persons interested in providing legitimate humanitarian-related trade or assistance to avail themselves of these long-standing regulatory provisions. The fact sheet helpfully summarizes in one place OFAC's existing resources relating to such transactions, and also states OFAC's commitment to prioritize specific license applications for humanitarian transactions related to COVID-19 response that are not otherwise exempt or authorized by general license. OFAC officials have also spoken publicly about this guidance. In a recent panel discussion, OFAC Director Andrea Gacki stated that it is one of her primary objectives to make sure that sanctions do not impede humanitarian relief efforts related to the COVID-19 crisis. And the fact sheet makes clear that OFAC stands ready to provide guidance on the exemptions, exceptions, and authorizations discussed in the fact sheet and to respond to any applications for specific licenses. The detail provided in the April 16th guidance also underscores the complexity of the underlying regulatory regime and highlights the practical challenges that persons wishing to provide food, medicine, and medical devices to a comprehensively sanctioned country, whether in the form of a commercial sale or a humanitarian donation, will face. For example, U.S. persons involved in such trade or aid in the Iran context will need to address restrictions around prohibited end users and end uses, which may prove particularly challenging given the opacity of the Iranian economy and the limitations on U.S. persons' ability to conduct due diligence. In addition to challenges relating to the target countries for COVID-19-related trade or aid, the OFAC fact sheet also highlights certain challenges within the U.S., noting that persons interested in exporting, in particular, personal protective equipment from the United States should review all relevant U.S. regulations, guidance, and rules, including the April 10, 2020 temporary rule issued by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, which prohibits, through August 10, 2020, the export from the United States without FEMA approval of five specific types of PPE. The types of PPE covered by the April 10, 2020 FEMA rule include N95 filtering facepiece respirators, other filtering facepiece respirators, including those designated as N99, N100, R95, R99, R100, or P95, P99, P100, as well as elastomeric air purifying respirators and appropriate filters and cartridges, PPE surgical masks, and PPE gloves or surgical gloves. Again, this rule went into effect on April 7th, 2020, and will continue in effect until August 10th, 2020. Of course, the FEMA rule stands alongside other U.S. export controls administered by the Departments of State, Commerce, and Energy, all of which may be implicated by COVID-19-related transactions, again, whether commercial sales or donated relief. That really concludes discussion of the April 16th guidance issued by OFAC, but importantly, I think, underscores the complexity of operating in this space and engaging in potential trade-related transactions with comprehensively sanctioned jurisdictions. With that, I'd like to turn it back to Eric.
Thank you, Jamie. That was a very detailed and thorough summary of the April 16 guidance. And thank you, listeners, for listening to our S&C Critical Insights podcast today. For more information about our practice, please visit us on the web at www.sullcrom.com. And please also go to sullcrom.com for additional information on this topic in our recent memo dated April 21, 2020, entitled OFAC Guidance in Response to COVID-19. Thank you very much.